Welcome back to Open House with Mark Selick and Corey James Moran, brought to you by the Mark Selick team at Keller Williams Realty, a Greater Rochester Real Estate Podcast. This is episode 38. Mark, how are you today?
I am good, bud. How are you doing?
Doing good. I wanted to get an update from you. I think the last time that we had a podcast, you said that you had a very interesting meeting that you had scheduled.
Are you talking about my mentors?
Yes. How cool is this? How full circle, right?
So actually, last night, I started this business 30-some years ago, and I worked for a guy named Gar Lowengooth. He owned Lowengooth Realty. It was a boutique agency on East Avenue, Park Avenue. He moved around a little bit. And then there were there was an agent who took me under her wings. Her name was Diana Boucher. And then this other agent I've referenced a few times on the podcast, Julie Holzbach. Without their help, without their assistance, I would not have made it in this business. And so I had the privilege last night of taking these three people out to dinner and just enjoying their company and having the opportunity to look them in the eye and say thank you, because they provided me an opportunity. I'm not from this area. I didn't know anybody. I had no money in my pocket. I had no connection, nothing. And they all saw, and they saw something, and they believed me, and they helped me. And so to be able to actually look them in the eye 30-some years later and say thank you was really a privilege.
Well, especially considering the amount of success that you've had. I mean, for them, it must have been really cool, too, to see that. I mean, everyone likes to be right. You know, they saw something in you. That obviously came to fruition. So very cool.
Yeah, I was grateful for the opportunity. It was, and I'd like to do this once a year. Yeah.
Oh, so, nice. Well, excellent. Yeah. And that, I mean, you are very much the same way of being a mentor as well. And I'm sure it's always a cycle. It's a full circle kind of thing. You know, that happened for you, so you look to do the same for others.
That is one of the things I love doing. I'm constantly meeting with, obviously, members of the team, but then I just get these random phone calls throughout the year. People who want to come in and sit down and they want to chat with me a little bit.
That's how we connected, basically. Knew of each other, basically, but our first real conversation was...
Not at your wedding?
That was quick. That was a whirlwind. I don't even remember half the people that were there, to be honest with you. My apologies. Our first real conversation was... just one of those deals. So it's very cool.
It is a privilege actually, one very quick story. I remember when I started this business 30-some years ago, I used to just pick up the phone and call people like, hi, my name's Mark Selick. I'm just starting in this business. Would you meet with me? Click. Would you?
Really?
Over and over and over again. And I said to myself back then, I was like, not that anybody ever have any interest in calling me or would want to seek my advice. However, if I ever were in that position, the phone would ever ring. I pledged myself that I would return the phone call, and here I am 30-some years later, and like having that privilege, I love it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
The only thing that Mark loves, maybe more than that, is obviously
Cardi B.
Okay, all right. The second thing that Mark may love more than that is obviously football. I mean, you've displayed your knowledge. I'm impressed with a lot of what you've been saying.
I'm from Buffalo.
Yeah, so you've really been into the Bills.
You know, my sister-in-law was a Buffalo Jill. One of my brother's best friends was, Jim Kelly. It's kind of hard not to grow up in that environment and know a little bit about football.
Now, sadly, the Bills, of course, are not in the Super Bowl, but the big game is coming up on Sunday. Cincinnati Bengals, LA Rams. I don't want to break down the predictions and get into all that because I don't know about you. But for me, there's always choices. What are you most excited about for the game? You know, there's the game itself. Mm-hmm. For some people, it's betting money on the game. For others, it's the halftime show, which, by the way, Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg, Eminem, Mary J. Blige,
Kendrick
Lamar all performing. So it's going to be
Who's the last one?
Kendrick Lamar.
Really?
He's there as well, yeah. So
the Pulitzer Prize winning rapper, seriously.
There we go, yes. For me, though, it's the food. It's food for me.
Yeah.
I love football, don't get me wrong, but it's the food.
All right, so are you cooking, or are you simply
devouring everything in sight? Yeah, that's pretty much my goal.
So you're going to cook, or you're going to order pizza? What are you doing?
We usually order. My wife usually does the apps. I don't know how much cooking I'll personally be doing, but I'll be doing a lot of the eating. My folks are coming in from Endicott for the weekend.
And you're doing this at your house?
Yeah, just a little thing.
Or are you going down the hill?
No, they're going to be gone. Yeah. So just a little thing. Might have a couple of friends over. But
what time?
You're invited to add. I believe the game's at 6:30, Mark.
Subtle. So that was very subtle.
Bring Duffy. Come on by.
Yeah, thank you.
But for me, it's the food, right? And number one, Super Bowl food for you. What is it? Putting you on the spot here.
He's pizza.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, what about you?
Well, I see pizza more as a meal. I make pizza a meal anyway, less than an app. Yeah. My app, not buffalo chicken wings, which I do love. Buffalo chicken wing dip.
Okay.
Is the move. That's my number one.
Wait, you place a vat of this in front of you and you consume it?
Oh, yeah. No one's don't get near me. You might lose a finger when I have my buffalo chicken wing dip. So
you really just like the dip, like nothing else?
Well, I don't eat it with my hands like I'm Winnie the Pooh.
Use a spoon? Like,
I'm Winnie
the
Pooh dipping into the honey jar. No, you with chips and stuff.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, there we go. Okay. All right.
Pizza obviously can't go wrong as well. The other thing that people obviously are always into for the Super Bowl, one last thing, the commercials.
Oh, God, yeah.
Which I can't wrap my head around it. It's something that people complain about every other time of the year. And then the Super Bowl comes around, and it's one of the things they literally look forward to.
There must be some intent on Madison Avenue or wherever it is that ads are now being...
A genius marketing move.
Yeah, yeah.
And it just shows the power of the NFL to literally get us to like something that we complain about the rest of the year.
They are so compelling.
Yeah.
I remember being in Bali a few years ago and watching Super Bowl commercials the day after the Super Bowl just because... And there was one commercial, I'll never forget it. Good for them. It was a woman, as a PSA for domestic battered women services.
Okay.
And it was just chilling. It was this woman, she's on the phone. She said, yes, I'd like to order a pizza. Two large pizzas with pepperoni. Ma'am, you do realize that this is the police department. Yes, I do.
Oh, wow.
And it's
that's powerful.
She says, yes, I do realize. Ma'am, are you in trouble? Yes, I am.
Wow.
And that goes back like those. They are
that sticks in your head.
They are good commercials, PSAs or otherwise.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And I have a family of marketing people, so they're always entertaining to watch the Super Bowl with as they dissect every piece of every commercial.
Oh, I actually really like to sit in on that sometime.
That's interesting stuff.
Oh, that's great. All right. So are we here to talk about culture? Because I could,
know.
For the next half hour, I could talk to you about movies and Academy Awards, or should we talk about real estate?
We can talk about real estate on a real estate podcast, I suppose. I was trying to kick the can down the road a little bit.
Because there's nothing to talk, because there's nothing going on, nothing.
We're still waiting. All right, so market update here.
Okay.
Monroe County, we have 263 single family listings right now compared to 262 last week.
Okay.
Up one. Six county region actually down 19. We're down from 520 to 509. So just spinning the wheels here. And again, we look to the snow is not helping, which we are having a bit of a warm patch here. So maybe.
Yep. 40 degrees as we speak.
Which is basically summer.
right.
And then obviously we are seeing the numbers come down as well for the Omicron variant.
Right.
These are all good things. The temps will go up.
Yep.
The numbers hopefully will continue to go down.
Right.
And that will lead to what I think is going to be a fascinating time. Maybe end of this month, beginning of next, what kind of surge are we going to see as far as properties that are listed? Because again, as we discussed all year thus far for 2022, plenty of buyers out there.
Right. Well, we put a property on the market for sale in Brighton, a ranch for $450,000. Nice house, but it needs a new kitchen, needs update to the baths, et cetera. We sold it $66,000 over asking.
Yep.
Just, it just continues on. It just continues on. So,
we will see. We will see.
We will see.
I did want to get to a couple of notes here regarding the market. One of them was just the speed at which everything is being sold.
Yeah.
Which, again, we touched on last week. That also is attributing to the lower numbers of properties that are available just because they're gone so quickly. So the typical U.S. home sold faster in January of this year than in any other January on record.
Yeah. I was surprised that they qualified it by saying any other January on record.
Okay.
Because I would have assumed that
they had
sold. I really would have assumed that properties this past January sold more quickly than any other point in time or any other month in recorded history. But they did qualify by saying January. And it doesn't surprise either you or I.
No. Absolutely. I mean, again, there's so many buyers that are so ready to purchase their homes. And as soon as they're available, you have to jump at it.
Right,
so
right.
Delayed negotiations is here and staying
for
probably the foreseeable future. Now, with the speed that homes are selling, I did see this note that, and it ties into something else I saw that I found a little bit odd, that buyer's remorse is up as well.
I noticed that also, because people are having to make decisions so quickly.
Yeah.
And they're settling, I suppose, in some ways for mediocrity. So
they just want anything, right?
Yeah.
I think this also ties into something that is going around, and it's been picked up in the real estate news.
Oh, can I tee this up?
Yeah, please do.
Only because if I think I might know where you're going.
Yeah.
I am so proud of our team in that we always coach people, yes, you need to move quickly, and yes, there's very little out there, but don't settle.
Yeah.
And if you need to buy, then we'll sell you a house within the next 3-4 days. Fine. We can try to do that. But if there's no temporal imperative, fine. Then you know what? Let's really think about. I had a conversation with somebody actually watching a Bills game a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, really? Okay.
And I said to them, yes, you're anxious and you're desperate to find something, but close your eyes. And if you were to have walked through this property a month and a half ago, or a year and a half ago, excuse me, if you were to walk through this property a year and a half ago, would you be interested in buying it if you weren't? And they sat there and they thought about it, and they're like, it's really not that great a house. Well, then you shouldn't be writing an offer on it. I mean, don't get caught up in the emotion of. So is that where you're headed with this?
100%.
Okay.
Because you're exactly right. Because they're going to have that realization at one time or another. It's either you bringing them to that realization in that moment, or 3 months from now when they're sitting in that house looking around thinking, huh, yeah, no, this really isn't what we wanted.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was what this article was talking about. It was a little odd because it was almost like heralding, like this is a great thing. Agents are being honest with people. Literally, real estate pros won't sugarcoat listings was the headline of this article.
Wow.
Which is crazy. Like, I just don't understand why this is not just so basic, because it should be. For our team, it certainly is.
Yeah, yeah.
Because again, always looking at the big picture of things, yeah, fine, you might be able to get someone to purchase on that house. But sooner or later, they're going to have that realization that, oh, well, I wasn't informed of all the things that I should have been. And then next thing you know, there goes your repeat business.
Well, it's so funny because people always say to me, wow, I can't believe how honest your team is, or I can't believe that you would actually disclose the fact that there was a hole in the roof.
Right.
All of these. And, you know, and it's, well, we can think about it as like, you know, being an act of nobility, like, you know,
right.
Or, you know what, it's nothing, frankly. Yeah. A, it's the right thing to do, of course. But B, it does ensure repeat business down the road, three years, 6 years, 9, 12 years down the road. And then the referrals that come with it. So, yes, it may be the right thing to do. Yes, it may be noble. I don't personally think that it is.
It's pretty basic.
But it's also just self-preservation. So, yeah.
Yeah, this one agent in particular that was featured in this article, again, getting a hero label for telling a client who was thinking about moving to this town from out of state that, well, you should probably know it smells like a farm here. Like, you don't say.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. They're going to find out eventually.
Right?
Yeah.
For sure. So I don't know. I found that to be interesting.
Did they say, back to the first point you were making related to this article, were they saying what percentage of buyers are dissatisfied with their purchase?
I don't remember the stat off the top of my head, to be honest with you, but it was an increasing number.
Okay. Okay.
And again, a lot of it is fueled by that desperation that we've been talking about, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Especially when it comes to millennials and first-time home buyers.
Right. Yes. Yes.
Here's some stats for you that are a little alarming. 80% of Americans 18 to 34 said now was a bad time to buy a house.
Well, I can't quite disagree with them. I mean, yes, you need to do it. You absolutely have to do it. We've talked about this. You've got to start somewhere, and it's going to be a bad market today. It's going to be a bad market next year and the year after that. You've got to buy a house so you can start to pay down on the principal and build some equity. But go ahead.
So basically it comes down to affordability and a topic that we've covered here and there on the podcast, and that is, houses are getting out of people's reach to be able to even afford them. It's not a want, it's a can't.
Right, right.
So the medium home sale reached a record high of 365,000 in January, which is a 16% jump from just last year and a 28% jump from 2019.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, it would state it another way. In the past 3 years, there's been a 20% increase. Is that right?
Yep.
Yeah, 20% increase. Or 2 years. Actually, it's 2 years because, that's significant. That is, and it's, prices are going to go up again this year.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of it for people who are just getting started, looking for those first-time homes, those starter homes, quote-unquote. The U.S. supply of 1,400 square foot homes has fallen to its lowest level in 50 years and accounted for just 7% of construction in 2019.
7%. We've talked about this ad infinitum. The need for governmental intervention, the need for tax credits.
What? In 1980, what percentage were homes that were 1,400 square feet or less? Homes?
No.
40%.
40% of all homes built in 1980?
Yep.
From you're kidding
1980
me.
To 2019, 40% to 7%.
Well, doesn't that tell us everything that we need to know?
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much for joining us this week.
Yeah, right.
I mean, we can end right here. That is, wow.
Mm-hmm.
It's something needs to, and unfortunately, given the political climate, I mean, you know, we can't even agree on the colors of the flag, let alone whether or not we're going to do something about the dearth of single-family homes available for first-time buyers.
You know, it's a little bit scary. You again, project this out. If there isn't some kind of intervention,
right, yeah.
Where do we find ourselves in 2 years from now, in
right,
5 years
right,
from now,
right,
in 10
right.
years from now? So it's all things to consider.
And I just feel so bad for the generation that is... This is a generation that has been saddled with student loan debt.
Oh, yeah.
Horrible. And now they can't buy a house because there aren't properties out there. Rents are going up. Rents last year, rents nationally went up 16%. Mm-hmm. It's a generation that is being squeezed financially.
I read
sad.
Rents could go up another 10% this
year.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
And that is being attributed to, and they've been victims in this as well, unfortunately, landlords have been hurt by the eviction moratorium, these people that weren't paying rent. So now these rent increases are going to come from trying to make up some of that lost profit from there. So it's just, I don't know, it's an absolute powder keg.
I've got to say, we've been so fortunate in our portfolio of rental properties. In 2 years, we just had somebody unexpectedly move out last week. That was the first tenant that we've had.
Oh, wow.
In years and years. Who has moved out unexpectedly or not paid rent for a given month. We're very,
well, thank
very
goodness,
fortunate.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank God.
All right, we're going to shift gears here. Real,
yeah, please.
Real have-nots to the haves. Let's talk about some celebrity homes.
Oh, there we go. All right, love this.
We always do love to cover some of the real estate porn, if you will. And there's some pretty big celebrities that have recently sold that we wanted to touch on. We'll put also links to these in the show notes.
Great.
For the podcast if you do want to take a look at some of these houses. And keep in mind, play along. I want to know which home would you rather live in. And it may have something to do with the home or it may have something to do with celebrity. I guess we'll see.
So you're going to describe the home?
Yeah. I've got some info here.
Okay, very good. Okay.
Do you want to start? I'll give you a choice. Do you want to start with Justin Timberlake or John Legend and Chrissy Teigen?
Let's start with, I love them both. But let's start with Legend and Teigen.
Okay. So they were seeking $18 million for a pair of apartments with a giant roof deck. And according to...
And this is in New York City, I would imagine?
This one was in Nolita.
Okay, yeah.
So...
North of Little Italy.
Yeah.
Yes, for those who... Yeah.
Thank you for that. So it's two penthouse apartments in the Brewster Carriage House, which is a 19th century built landmark. The two apartments were purchased by the couple in 2018 and 2020 for $9.02 million and $7.7 million respectively. And they had planned to combine the two units into one, but those plans changed when the couple determined they would be spending most of their time in Los Angeles.
Wow.
So the two apartments, adding up to 6,200 square feet of space, include six different bedrooms. Again, got $18 million for that.
That doesn't sound like all that large.
Pretty reasonable,
increase.
Right?
Well, but if they paid $16 million for the two,
yeah.
I'm sure they had to combine them. I'm sure that they had to renovate them and then to sell for $18 million. That doesn't sound like a great real estate move.
Yeah, maybe not. Maybe give John Legend a call. Like,
yeah,
listen.
Christy.
Got some.
Have you seen her tweets? She's a tweeter, that one. And she's a mouthy. I like her a lot. So when I say that she's mouthy, that's not a criticism. I like her. Yeah.
She's got herself in trouble a little bit here and there.
Yeah, yeah.
But she certainly is brutally honest, that's for sure. All right, so let's move to Justin Timberlake.
Okay. Mom, I know you're listening. I told you about my mother, right?
She's a big fan?
I didn't. I took her to the Justin Timberlake concert a few years ago.
Yes, scammed. I do remember that.
Yeah, got scammed. But more importantly, like mom, I love it. Throwing yourself at Justin Timberlake in the way that you were, mom. I'm a little embarrassing, but I loved it. I loved it.
Well, not only is he a great singer, great dancer. He apparently is also good at investing in real estate as well, because he just sold his penthouse. This is in New York, to an anonymous buyer for $29 million after paying $20 million for it in 2017. That's a pretty good
return. That's a good return on your investment. Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
This one's a 5,400 square foot, four bedroom unit, traded hands at an off market deal.
Where's it located?
This is the Mestro Loft Management, 443. Is it pronounced Greenwich or Greenwich?
Greenwich.
Greenwich.
Greenwich. We're going to go with Greenwich.
Yeah. Sounds good.
So lower Manhattan.
And apparently, there's a lot of celebrities that are in this particular building. Some of the past and present include Blake Lively and Ryan Reynolds.
Oh, there you go.
Lawrence and Harry Styles.
Really?
Yeah, it's an 8-story, 53-unit building.
Well, like, not just celebrities, but, like, you know, big-time celebrities. Younger, hip, very hip. That's a very... could you imagine the cocktail parties that were going on in that building?
I mean...
Wow!
What about the steam room? 53-unit building includes a pool, a gym, a sauna, a steam room, a playroom, and a roof deck.
You know, I'd probably be a prune.
I
would just be sitting there waiting. Yeah,
Justin's
exactly.
Gotta be here eventually.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, there's Jessica. Hey, Jess.
they decided to sell because they have properties in Tennessee, Montana, Los Angeles.
Well, he's from Tennessee.
Yep.
Tennessee, LA, and where's the other?
Montana. In Montana.
Okay. Well, there you go.
A little outdoorsy vibe.
Okay. Right,
the last one. So far we have the two penthouses that could be combined into one, sold by John Legend, Chrissy Teigen. We have the one penthouse from Justin Timberlake. And we also have, which one of these is not like the other, David Spade also sold his $19.5 million home in Beverly Hills. So the Trousdale Estates home was listed a month ago for just under $20 million, got multiple offers.
Oh.
Apparently, he bought it. Talk about a great investment. He bought this in 2001 for $4
million. Really?
So he made nearly $16 million.
Wow.
This past fall, he apparently decided to upgrade. You know, his $4 million house at that point was just disgusting. So he had to go to his $13.5 million home in Beverly Hills.
Wow.
So this one was apparently designed by architect Edward Fickett. And the Beverly Hills house was built in 1978. Over the years, Spade renovated it, 6,400 square feet, four bedrooms, three fireplaces. He updated his and hers primary bathrooms, expanded the TV room, which has a bar. It also has a sunken great room with roughly 20-foot ceilings.
Wow.
And floor-to-ceiling windows and sliding glass doors that open to a patio. It's about 3/4 acre. And it also has its own motor court, three-car garage, pool, and tennis court.
Well, there you go.
Not too shabby.
Not bad, David.
All right. So you got to pick one to live in. What are you going with?
Oh, come on. I mean.
Come on.
I'm going to, what was it, 443 Greenwich?
Yeah, you're there.
Yeah, Justin Timberlake's,
Where's all the celebs?
It doesn't even matter if it's in this apartment. I'm going to be hanging out with Blake and Ryan. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. All right.
And I've never seen a photo. I think they're very protective of their children. But those children, you know, those are good-looking kids.
Oh, for sure.
It
goes one of two ways, right? If you have two really good-looking parents, either the kids are just as gorgeous, or it's the other way.
Yeah, no. These are. Let's just put it out there. They are very good-looking children, inevitably.
Absolutely. Yeah. I gotta be honest though. I might be a little intimidated living in a place where Justin Timberlake and John Legend lived. So I think if I had to pick one, I gotta go with the David Spade house. To be honest with you.
Seriously.
Yeah, also looking out here with the snow that's still on the ground.
You're living in Manhattan. Come on. You can't compare Rochester, New York with lower Manhattan. So.
No, not. The lowest of the three.
But then again, I mean, yes, you do need to get away because I think you were away just this past weekend again.
This is the last time.
Where are you going this coming weekend?
Nowhere.
Oh, you got the Super Bowl this weekend. That's right.
Nowhere.
Over on Sunday.
Nowhere. Working. Just working. Speaking of which, you can see our listings over at MarkSewick.com.
great new one coming up this week off East Avenue. A dear friend of mine has decided to list. Great property. It just went live actually today. And we will be looking at offers on Monday. Brighton Township, but Penfield Schools. Awesome, awesome place. So.
Absolutely. So you can check out our listings, as always, marksewick.com. The blog's up there. You can see our videos. There was a great video.
Great video.
For Aaron Duffy on our team, Aaron Duffy Cruz.
Our very own.
Yeah.
Blake Lively.
Yeah.
Our very own, seriously.
This turned out so good.
Oh, I mean, she's holding, you know, one of the kids. She's stirring a pot. She's working out with Nick Mancuso. I mean, she's like, and you know, effortlessly just, you know, rolls out of bed, you know, sells $18 million a year. And
wow.
She's just, yeah.
Just built different.
But
this is part of a series that we're going to be working on throughout the next coming months of just getting to know some of the agents on the team. So it's, you know, it's great to have this platform, but we want to do everything, audio, video. Obviously, written word has been your thing for so long.
And we're just so fortunate. Our videographer, Chris Coffey, he is amazing. So, we're going to be mixing it up every week. We've got VIP tours of these really beautiful homes that we list for sale, which are great. As you said, profiles of each of the agents. And then I love the series we're going to launch in about 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks' time. These are the people in my neighborhood.
Ooh.
And then each of the members of the team will just walk to whatever it is that they love about. So, you know, I'll be going to Giant's Restaurant, which I love, and going down to Red. And,
oh, yeah.
Just introducing people to some of the things that I love in that part of the county, that, you know, where I live in the Park Ave neighborhood. Josh will be, of course, walking people through through what's going on in the Village of Fairport. I don't know. So just, it's a great series.
For sure.
Good
so,
stuff.
Yeah, lots of content. As always, marksewick.com. Thank you for checking it out. Thank you for listening to the podcast. Again, as always, if you pass it along to your friends, that helps us grow, and we greatly appreciate
should
that.
Should I make my empty promise once again?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, sure. the empty promise. I swear to God, we do have some hard-hitting real estate news coming up. It's just around the corner, Ladies and gentlemen. Just hang with us. We're just waiting for these. So, yeah. I've promised that every week for like the past 6 weeks.
Well, sooner or later, it's going to come true.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Eventually?
Yeah. A broken watch.
Well, that's coming up next week on Open House with Mark Sewick and Court James Moran. Thank you for listening.